Welcome to The Green Urbanist, the podcast for urbanists fighting climate change. I'm Ross. Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode. Ross here. Today's episode is a conversation with Louisa Whitmore.
My name is Louisa Whitmore. I'm an architecture enthusiast, TikTok creator, and host of the documentary series, The Nature of Design.
Now, Louisa is the host of The Nature of Design documentary series, which is all about biophilic design in architecture and in landscape design. And that's exactly what we're talking about on today's episode. So a chat to Louisa about her experience making the documentary and about some of her favorite sort of case studies of the places that they went and visited as part of the documentary. So this is a really good episode to get some examples, some case studies of biophilic design from mostly in North America. Really, really nice chat. And we also talk about some of the health benefits and some of the mental health benefits, why we really need to be experiencing biophilic places and how we can do more of that within dense cities with limited space. It's a really nice chat. I really enjoyed it and I think you're really going to enjoy it as well. If you're interested in checking out the documentary series and watching it, again, it's called The Nature of Design and that's available on a website called thegreenchannel.tv. And the link to that is in the episode description, along with some other social media links. You can go check out Louisa's TikTok and the Instagram and the TikTok pages for the documentary as well. Just to say, I know my posting schedule for podcasts has been a bit all over the place recently. Please forgive me for that. I'm just incredibly busy doing other stuff outside of podcasting, which does tend to happen. And so you just have to bear with me the next couple of weeks, potentially months, as life will continue to be busy. But I've got a couple of more really good episodes coming up. So stay tuned for that. And if nothing new comes out soon, then have a look in the back catalogue. There's over 80 episodes. And I'm sure you'll find something that you enjoy there. So please tell me a little bit about this documentary. What is it about?
Yes. So The Nature of Design is a documentary about, well, okay, documentary series about biophilic architecture and design, specific, basically natural design, bringing nature into architecture. Biophilia is the design principle of bringing nature into architecture. So that's what it's all about. And so we focus on several different aspects of bringing nature into design, nature into architecture, work, office buildings, et cetera, play, hotels, resorts, public parks, things like that. And all of the different ways that being around nature impacts you and your brain and your enjoyment of a space. It was a really fun time to learn all of that while researching, while making the documentary. And I'm really excited for it to come out.
Amazing. Yeah. It looks great. And hopefully it's quite inspirational for people. I wonder, like, how did you get into biophilic architecture? What was your sort of way into it?
Well, that's a great question. Basically, the producers of the documentary, B Video Productions, reached out to me and said, hey, have you heard of this architectural concept? We're thinking we want to make a documentary about it. Would you like to be involved? And I was just sort of starting out as an architecture creator on TikTok at that point. I'd only been doing it for a few months. I was learning about all these new types of architecture I hadn't really looked into before. So that was just kind of one added onto the list. And I started looking into it. It's so fascinating. And I'm so glad they reached out because I've learned so much and I've learned so much about how I personally experience being in a space and how I feel when I'm around nature. Example right now, I know that I'm sitting at my desk at my window looking out at a tree, and I know that that helps me work, that helps me be productive, that helps me feel good in my workspace, and that's why I organize my room this way. And I only know that because of this learning that I've done through the documentary.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, if you're an office worker and you're spending a lot of time looking out the window, just remember it's good for your productivity. Tell your manager that.
looking outside, seeing greenery, if that makes you happy, it's just going to be better. You're going to be better all around.
Yeah, there's incredible research done on biophilic architecture or biophilic environments where we're sort of immersed in nature. If we can see plants and trees and natural views, you know, people in hospitals, they heal quicker in those sort of environments. Your stress is reduced. All the sort of things, even in places like airports, I think they've done studies where it's like people are more chilled out, less stressed out.
Yeah, well, that would make sense. And one of the things that we are talking about in the documentary is the Singapore airport.
Yeah,
I'm sure you're aware of how beautiful that space is. But we also we also talked a lot about nature's role in healing. And the concept of healing gardens and nature incorporated into spaces of health and restoration.
Amazing. Yeah. Can you tell me a bit about that? What were some of the places you visited?
Awesome. I can. We went to the Nikkei Seniors Manor in Seattle, and which is an apartment complex for seniors, most of whom are Japanese Americans. And we met Daniel Winterbottom, who is the landscape architect who designed their healing garden. And it was amazing to hear from him directly all of the things that went into designing that garden. And since many of the seniors living in that complex are Japanese Americans, immigrants from Japan, he incorporated a lot of healing garden, like techniques from Japanese healing gardens to bring sort of the memory, include memory as a function of that. So that was fascinating. And it was just a beautiful little space, this tiny triangle outside of an apartment building in the middle of downtown Seattle. And it was right next to this big road with all the like trucks going by all of the time and like sirens and planes flying overhead because it was close to the airport. But once you were in that little canopy of trees and walkways and fountains, it felt like everything else just disappeared. It was lovely. We also visited another one of Daniel Winterbottom's projects, which is the healing garden at the VA hospital in Seattle. There are multiple. It's just several little small nature pockets for when you need a break. There's one even for the staff. Healthcare staff are so overworked, especially right now. There's just such a crisis, and having that little space for them to go relax, look at nature, just step back, take a breath, has been very, very beneficial for some people. And having the little healing garden nature pockets in for the veterans at the VA hospital, sometimes you need to step back and you need to sit down and experience nature. And that's, I talked to one of the veterans who both goes to that hospital, but also works with Daniel Winterbottom to design the gardens, and works with veterans, and it really has had an impact on his life.
That's amazing. I love that. Yeah, I have a couple of little spaces like that around me in London as well. There's a little nature reserve that was on a site that was, I think it was a site that was damaged by bombs in World War II, so it was totally clear of buildings. And over the decades, it just like regenerated back into a little pocket of forest. And so I go there, you know, usually on Saturdays or, you know, whenever I can. And it's just this like super calm space, you know, right in the middle of a very dense city.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, big spaces are important as well, like having big parks, but where space is limited, as it often is in, you know, central cities, it's just carving out those, you can have a really intensity of nature that is actually incredible to be around.
Yeah. We talked a lot about those nature pockets in the city. And we visited the High Line. I got to visit the High Line with Jennifer Walsh from Biophilic Design, Biophilic Podcast, and seeing the gardens, the bushes, the trees right in the middle of downtown New York City was incredible. And Jennifer spoke a lot about the importance of these little pockets of nature and how much they can be helpful and beneficial, especially for the space, the city of New York, during COVID, they were hit so hard, and it was very, very difficult to open back up, get back out there, and heal. And so it's, again, that kind of healing power of nature there as well.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. Tell me some more. Where else did you go?
Amazing. Yeah, I can do that easily. Okay. So you said you wanted to know like my favorite building spaces.
Yeah. If you can pick a favorite.
Well, I definitely cannot. I'll tell you, my jokey favorite is the woods in my neighborhood.
Sure. Of course.
We went to Vancouver a bit and that was lovely. I had a great time, but I have been there a lot before, but you know, to show just sort of how we feel in nature. I was talking to Dr. Emily Grant while in the woods in Vancouver to talk about how nature affects our brains. She's a neuroscientist, so that was really fun. I would say my favorite building that we visited was the Bullitt Center in Seattle.
Oh yeah, I've heard about this. Yeah,
you've heard about the Bullitt Center. I researched it going in. I had no idea how incredible it is. It's sustainable, which is super important, but it's also so biophilic, and the way that people who work in the building, who run the building, the way that they talk about it, it's like it's alive. Like we went into its digestive system a little bit. We went down to, like, I got a whole tour. We went down to the basement, saw all of the pipes, wastewater systems, which are really, really, really interesting. The way it collects rainwater and treats rainwater and treats sewage water. It's just, it's fascinating, all of the processes. And it is quite not exactly comparable to a digestive system, but you can think of it that way. It also breathes, which is a little bit unsettling to be in a building that breathes, but it's got shutters that automatically change depending on the time of day, the sun, the light. And the windows open automatically depending on the temperature. And it's a really fascinating building. It's absolutely beautiful. I really enjoyed the Bullitt Center.
Yeah, the Bullitt Center is like it's one of those ones because it's a couple of years old now, but it's still so far ahead of many, many new buildings that are made now.
It's about 10 years old, but it's still their slogan is still the greenest commercial building in the world.
Right, okay.
But when they built it in 2013, I think their goal was for it to not be the greenest building, commercial building in the world. They wanted it. It was supposed to be a template that stepping stone that other buildings could improve upon.
Yeah, it's there to learn from.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. What were the aspects of it that were biophilic?
Biophilia isn't just being able to see plants. There's so many other things involved. There are 14 or 15 now. I think they added a new one, 15 principles of biophilia, which include like seeing plants, but also seeing or hearing running water or feeling a breeze, feeling kind of natural airflow, unregulated airflow. Feeling a breeze, you feel like you're outside, you feel like you're, whoa, what a beautiful day. That's so things like that. So also representations of nature, not just nature. So the Bullitt Center does have that airflow, is that it changes. It's got these beautiful, massive windows so that there's tons of natural light everywhere. Most of the lighting is natural, which is really, really lovely to be. It's just a lovely space to be inside. Lots of exposed wood. That's the representations of nature part. You don't exactly feel like you're in a forest, but you feel like it's like, you know, forests exist. Also a lot of plants, things like that. And that more of a, just sort of a happy accident of its placement. I visited a conference room that has these big sliding glass doors, just everything, the whole wall, the walls are all just completely glass. And they happen to look out on this little corner of Seattle that is one of those nature pockets. So they look out on just this little canopy of trees, and it was just beautiful.
Love that. It sounds amazing. Sounds amazing. I think another aspect of biophilic design, which I think maybe flies under the radar a little bit, but which I really love is the materials. So you mentioned timber, mm-hmm. But also things like stone are making a little bit of a comeback, I think, in architecture, hopefully, because their stone is extremely sustainable because nature made it for us. We don't have to do any processing on it. You basically just cut it out of the quarry and then it's ready to go. And it just lends like such a nice tactile quality to buildings. Gives a real sense of like permanence as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. And we met an architect in the Bullitt Center who works in timber, in designing timber buildings, and got to see a couple of those just by looking out across the Seattle skyline. So that was really, really cool. One of the biggest things was we did do sort of a real life test thing. We met Dr. Ocean Vartanian in Toronto, and he showed us, he did this study using an MRI machine to show how people's brains react to images of interior spaces. And so to test this out, our producer, Bridget, very grateful to her for doing this, went into the MRI machine and did this test. And I got to just sit there and sort of watch what her brain was doing, which was really fun. And what her results, which matched pretty well with the general results from the actual study that he did, because we can't just go off her results because but her results matched up pretty well with the study that Dr. Vartanian did. And what he showed her were photos of interior spaces, and they were all ranked on, he had a spreadsheet that was all of them ranked on different scales of curvature, of color, space, height, things like that, that are just the sort of natural elements that are a little more abstract. Specifically, curvature is a lot more abstract as a natural element. We don't really think about that much, there are very few sharp angles in nature. And so having curvature is a big part of biophilia. And what the MRI test of Bridget found was that she preferred the buildings, the spaces that were more curved. And the spaces that had more natural light, I believe, were her results.
Yeah.
That was it. Really interesting.
That's super interesting. I think like something I was thinking about recently, sort of having traveled around Europe and France and Italy, you often come across these sort of medieval villages that are all, you know, made from stone and very, you know, handmade ancient sort of places. And I was thinking recently that these are actually incredibly biophilic as well, because there's nothing is straight. There's no straight streets. Everything is like curving or turning. The buildings are all, you know, nothing is at really like a perfect right angle. Everything is very rough and everything. And I feel like that's probably part of why people love them so much and like go on holidays there and, you know, have their wedding there and all that kind of stuff. It's just so feels like being in nature, despite you're actually in a town or a village.
Yeah, I think that's I completely agree with that. I mean, it's just, it provides such a nice feeling that's such a counterbalance to, you know, gridded city streets that a lot of people are so used to. I also visited Cook Fox Architects in New York City. And what was very interesting about that office was it was on the top of, you know, a classic New York City, not a skyscraper, but a tall building. But they had this balcony, this very large balcony, and they had completely covered it in, it was a garden. They had completely covered it in a garden, but not the kind of rooftop garden that I was expecting. It was more of, and there's something similar at UBC that we visited the year before for the short. We did a short documentary on just called Biophilia, and I visited UBC for that, and they had a very similar thing, and they called it the messy garden because they just put in all of these natural plants that would be there usually, that would be there if there was no building there, and just let them go. And they grew into this tangled giant bush. And there was a very similar thing at Cook Fox Architects in New York City. And it was there were a few paths so you could kind of wander around, sit down. They had a table so they could have meetings outside, which seemed lovely. But it was such a it really was a respite from the like busyness of New York City. Cause you could walk over to the balcony and look down and go, oh, there's tons of traffic down there. People walking around, honking their horns. Central Park is like a few blocks that way. Is it? You know what? Don't quote me on that one. I can't remember the directions. I do not know New York City that well. Yeah. But up on the balcony, surrounded by these overgrown bushes. Overgrown is not a great word because, I mean, they're grown as much as they're supposed to be. But surrounded by these massive bushes and these like creeping branches, it was just so quiet and so peaceful and really just a really nice space to be and to think is how I felt in there.
Yeah, that's great. That's so great. I really have to check that out because I really think we should be embracing more of the wild in cities and that sense of just letting nature do its thing. Because we actually spend a lot of time and energy cutting nature back and keeping it in control in cities. Yes. And we lose a lot of benefits by doing that. So
a lot of times pockets of nature become these very manicured, like small little lawn that you could come pull up a chair on, which is nice, but it's still just as controlled as the rest of the city. It's trying to contrast, but it doesn't really contrast it because it's still just a very, you know, perfectly manicured lawn. And having those little spots of wildness, even though that's not really it's not a great descriptor of it, but having those little spots where nature can just is just free to do its own thing is also really incredible.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much, Louisa. Really enjoyed this chat. Any final thoughts you want to share before we wrap up?
My final thoughts. I'm so grateful to everyone that I met and spoke to for the documentary. I met some of the coolest people ever. Several architects, several designers, scientists, inventors. I talked to Nyla Malou, who is 18 years old and has already invented like three kinds of renewable, or she's working on plastic made out of duckweed, like complete, very, very off topic, but she's very impressive and I'm so glad I got the chance to talk to her about that. And hear about, you know, the future of, because she is the future of biophilic design and renewable materials, sustainable materials.
Amazing.
And things like that. So I'm so grateful to everybody that I got the chance to learn from through this process.
Yeah, it sounds super inspiring and I really look forward to seeing the whole documentary and hope it inspires others as well.
Appreciate that. Well, thank you so much for having me.